Well, hello there. It's Monday, and that means it's time to manifest. I often talk about gratitude and how important that is to manifesting. As you probably heard in the introduction, the key to manifesting is to speak your dreams aloud in present and positive tense. Be grateful and expect it. Take action on it if you need to. Well, today I want to talk to you about gratitude. My friend Ellen Mongan, who has the Wow Mom podcast and has had me as a guest on her show many times, sends me gifts occasionally, and I'm always grateful because they seem to always be exactly what I need at that time. The latest gift is a little book called Attitudes of Gratitude, How to Give and Receive Joy Every Day of Your Life, written by M.J. Ryan. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, I have to use this in my show. And I want to read the foreword. Does it sound strange to say I discovered gratitude from an exploding turkey? My husband Richard and I, both in our 60s and not very practical about financial matters, decided it was finally time to make our will. We went to a lawyer and started the process of creating a living trust for our two sons. The lawyer asked, "What if the whole family were together at Thanksgiving and the turkey exploded? If the four of you were killed at that moment, who would you want to have your worldly goods?" That turned out to be a terrific assignment. A chance to think about the people in our lives, a chance to be grateful and to express our gratitude. At that time, I was writing my second book, Everyday Sacred. I wanted to find what was sacred in my everyday life to look with fresh eyes and see what might have been there all along that I had not been able to see. What had I taken for granted? When I began looking, I found teachers everywhere. A few months later, I learned another lesson in gratitude from a homeless person. I saw her early every morning at my favorite coffee house. She looked neat and always sat at the same table reading, but I often wondered if she was a person without a home. One day she walked across the room and asked if I had a pen she could borrow. "We both like this cafe," I began. "Why did you choose it?" "I love the light," she said. "It's uplifting." I learned she lived in a shelter and had to leave by 7 a.m. She told me she liked this cafe because she was treated like an individual. It proves you exist. Sometimes when I have no money, they give me a coffee. And then she added, "I dream of the day when my life is straightened out and I can walk in here and say, this is what I owe you. Put $500 in the tip jar and say thank you." M.J. Ryan is a special gratitude teacher. She is the best kind of teacher, one who has struggled to understand gratitude and to live what she is writing. I wrote M.J. Ryan a fan letter after hearing her on a book publishing panel. As I listened to what she said, I was deeply moved. How blessed her authors must be to feel her dedication and high intention. When I learned that she was writing a book and the topic was gratitude, I thought, bullseye. M.J. Ryan shows us a path to make our practice of gratitude come alive. She brings herself honestly and creatively to the topic, magically transforming gratitude from an abstraction into a useful, palpable reality. Attitudes of Gratitude shows us specific ways to practice gratitude in our everyday lives. Her wonderful book moves gracefully from the benefits of gratitude and the attitudes that promote it to the daily practices that deepen and nourish our best selves. Every morning I read one page in each of four small inspirational books. The books change, but they always remind me that I am not alone, that there is a spirit larger than myself at work, a universe larger than my immediate self-interest and concerns. I have added attitudes of gratitude to my morning reading list. Gratitude makes every day sacred. Expressing our gratitude is a gift to the giver. Gratitude for small things makes every day a gift. That was written by Sue Bender, author of Plain and Simple and Everyday Sacred. Now I will read the introduction from the author, I think. Since 1994, when I wrote A Grateful Heart, Daily Blessings for the Evening Meal from Buddha to the Beatles, I have been thinking and reading about gratitude and wondering what else I could do to enhance my own sense of thankfulness on a daily level and support it in other people. Many people asked for a sequel to A Grateful Heart, but this time I wanted to do something different than a collection of prayers, and so Attitudes of Gratitude has been cooking in my soul for more than 4 years, until Brenda Knight came along and suggested that I write about gratitude in the way you'll see here. Thank you, BK, for the inspiration and for several stories. In this work, I have had many teachers, those who have blessed my life with their presence and those whom I know only from the pages of their books. I thank, first of all, Donna Marakova for loving friendship and profound thinking on this and every other topic, as well as her inspiring embodiment of an asset focus. Her perspectives have become so much my own that it's hard to say where her thinking lets off and mine takes up. She recently spent a day with me, generously offering practices, stories, and perspectives to make this book more useful and less banal. It is a much better book for her contribution. I also give my loving thanks to Daphne Rose Kingma for the first to teach me the effects of gratitude, for letting me quote from her many books, for imbuing my writing style through example by some of her poetry, and for writing the best thank you notes in the world. To Molly Fumia and Will Glennon for thinking with me at various spots in the writing of this book. To Sue Patton-Thiel for friendship over the years and allowing me to quote from The Woman's Book of Spirit. To my editor, Claudia Schaub, who pushed me at the end. And to poet Mark Nepo for being so generous with his words. Finally, I thank Annette Madden for sharing stories and for being the most vivid example of an attitude of gratitude I know. I also acknowledge Brother David Steindl Rast, whose insightful writings and tapes on gratefulness, particularly Gratefulness, the Heart of Prayer, inform every page of this book. Louis Smedy's A Pretty Good Person, What It Takes to Live with Courage, Gratitude, and Integrity. Adair Lara's Slowing Down in a Speeded Up World, David Kuntz's Stopping How to Be Still When You Have to Keep Going. We can all relate to that one, I am sure. Sarah Banbreath's Simple Abundance, Richard Love's The Web of Life, Positive Change, Positive Action by David L. Cooper Writer, and Joan Borinsko's Fire in the Soul, A New Psychology of Spiritual Optimism. Thanks also to all the authors whose words I use as a jumping-off point, and to the entire staff of Canary Press who made this and all of our books happen. I consider it a great privilege to be able to create books that make a difference with you. Now, those were the beginning of the book Attitudes of Gratitude by M.J. Ryan. I have enough in this book, I think I can read for several times, several shows. And we're only about 10 minutes into this show, so I will jump right in with a little quote from Lao Tzu, The Simple Joy of Living from a Grateful Heart. If you look to others for fulfillment, you will never truly be fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. And if you recall, when I talk about how to manifest, gratitude is one of my key components. You might say that I call it a rule. I've kind of slackened up a little bit because I myself tend to be a bit of a rule breaker. So if somebody says, well, it's a rule, you got to do it, I might just not do it for that sake. So I call them guidelines or suggestions. Speak your dreams into existence. When you speak, you must speak in positive terms. You must also speak in present tense. You must believe that what you want is already yours and know that you deserve to have the life you want. You need to know what you can do or what you need help with so you know whether you can just go for it or if you need to get some more education or to get some physical help. And here comes the bottom, the kicker. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. I tell you to know the difference between manifesting and wishing. Understand that anything worth having is worth working for. Put action on your words. Your actions, your words, your desire, and your belief will take your dreams from someday to reality. But your gratitude means you're halfway there. And that's really the bottom line. Now, I'm going to read from the book. And I see that my friend Ellen has marked it up. So if I can read her writing, I will try to share that as well. Yesterday, while putting the final touches on this book, I went to lunch at a Chinese restaurant with my friend Annette to talk about gratitude. When I opened my fortune cookie at the end of the meal, the message was, stop searching. Happiness is just next to you. Talk about perfect timing, for that is exactly what this book is all about. Happiness, the sheer joy of being alive, is within our reach. All we need is an attitude of gratitude. This creates happiness because it makes us feel full, complete. Gratitude is the realization that we already have everything we need, at least for this moment. There is a saying that people teach what they most need to learn. And nowhere is that more true than with me and gratitude. I wrote this book not only because I think gratitude is vitally important to our world, but because I want to become more consciously grateful myself. I do not set myself up as an expert, but rather a person on a path like everyone else, each of us becoming the fullness of who he or she is meant to be. Like so many of us, I spent a great deal of my life in my 20s and early 30s cataloging all the ways I had been injured and abused, in therapy and out, with friends and loved ones. I analyzed and categorized the who's, what's, and where's of my misery. I was a confirmed pessimist, always able to see the dark side of anything and everything. Well, folks, let me tell you, that is not me. You can ask anyone who knew Mary before or after she became a Brotherton. I've always been a bit of a Pollyanna. I tend to see the bright side of every dark cloud. I look for the silver lining. I squint until I see it. I look for the good in everybody. But this is not my story. This is MJ Ryan's story. My belief was that life was hard and disaster was looming around every corner. If things were going well, it was only a matter of time before they would take a turn for the worse. Despite life's difficulties, it was my responsibility to do all the good I could and become the best person I could be. If I thought about gratitude at all, it was only to take a moment to give thanks for a few people in my life who had helped me feel loved. Gradually, things changed for me. I can't point to a single event, a life-changing moment, when my attitude suddenly transformed. Rather, slowly, as I came to understand my wounding better and began to heal, I started to notice the dearth of positive emotions in my life. I wasn't so miserable, worried, or alone anymore. But I knew precious little about joy, happiness, optimism, faith, and trust. So I began to study these emotions. I had always been a good student. It gave me something to study, and I knew I could figure it out. I adopted certain people who seemed to naturally radiate happiness as my teachers of optimism and joyfulness. One of the things I noticed is that these people all had a profound sense of gratitude that seemed to flow uninhibitedly from them. Investigating further, I discovered that each of them had experienced at least as difficult an early life, if not more challenging, as mine. But my teachers consciously chose to adopt certain attitudes, such as gratitude, that led them to great happiness. That's when I learned that you don't have to be saddled for life with the mental attitudes you adopted in early childhood. All of us are free to change our minds, and as we change our minds, our experiences will also change. So, I set out on a course to be more grateful, joyful, and hopeful. The result of my course is what you are holding in your hands. A few of my basic assumptions were: I've learned over time that it helps to take the long view, to choose to see our lives from a spiritual perspective. I know we are here to grow our souls, to heal our wounds, or at least bless our woundedness, and become more loving, kind, fearless, and hopeful. The longer I live, the more I recognize that cultivating an attitude of gratitude is the key to living from an open heart. That is, living in a spirit of joyful expectation. And my friend Ellen has put 3 stars there. Gratitude is not just the key, it's a magic key. All you need to do to use it is use it. And the world is suddenly transformed into a beautiful wonderland in which you are invited to play. That's because, like most of the great spiritual truths, attitude is stunningly simple. This is not to say, however, that an attitude of gratitude is necessarily easy to practice. All kinds of distractions, obfuscation, and negative attitudes from our upbringing may get in the way. But all you really have to do is make a commitment to it. Choose, and the magic will be yours. One of the incredible truths about gratitude is that it is impossible to feel both the positive emotions, love. Wait a minute, I read too fast. It is impossible to feel both the positive emotions of thankfulness and a negative emotion, such as anger or fear, at the same time. Gratitude births only positive feelings, love, compassion, joy, and hope. As we focus on what we are thankful for, fear, anger, and bitterness simply melt away, almost as if without effort. How can this be? The answer is that gratitude helps us track success, to notice what is right in our lives, and the brain naturally works to track success. If you have ever watched a baby learn something, you'll know what I mean. Learning to walk, for example. She stands and puts out one foot. Boom! Down she goes, because her balance wasn't right. Instead of castigating or being angry with herself for blowing it, she doesn't blame the floor or her shoe. She just registers that it didn't work because her foot was too far out, and she tries again. She just keeps trying and trying, discarding what doesn't work without obsessing on it, and incorporating what's right until she can walk. Fall, 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 walk. Fall, fall, walk, 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 run. As we get older, however, we get schooled in our mistakes and learn to focus on what's not right, what is lacking, missing, inadequate, and painful. That's why gratitude is so powerful. It helps us to return to our natural state of joyfulness, where we notice what's right instead of what's wrong. Gratitude reminds us to be like plants, which turn toward the light, not away from the sun. Because of the simple power of gratitude, it's easy to make all kinds of Pollyanna-ish generalities which slide off into meaninglessness and are boring to read about. My hope is that within these pages you'll find true inspiration and some solid ideas for making the practice of living from a grateful heart real and meaningful. To entice, encourage, and support you on your commitment, this little book begins with the gifts of gratitude, which look at what happens in our lives when we begin to practice gratitude. Don't worry if you don't know how to do it yet. Right now, we are focusing on the wonderful effects of your new attitudes. They will be created as you go. Then we go to the attitudes of gratitude, which are the outlooks or stances we need to take in cultivating gratefulness. Finally, we move to the practices of gratitude, which are the practical ways we can develop and maintain thankfulness in our daily lives. In a sense, each of the 60 chapters is a meditation in and of itself. This is not a book to be read at one sitting. Rather, I encourage you to read one chapter and let it sink in for a while, a day, 2 days, even a week or longer, before moving on to the next. Since gratitude is both an attitude and a practice, you need time to integrate the learnings so they can become truly yours, and not just something you read, put away, and forgot. To get started, take a few minutes right now to reflect on a happy moment in your own life that stands out for you. A moment that stays with you, even if it happened 10, 20, or 40 years ago. Experience it again. See the scene. Hear the sounds that were around you. Feel the sensations. Do you remember when I have talked in the past about making your dream come true? I've asked you to imagine what your dream feels like, what your dream smells like, what your dream sounded like or sounds like, what your dream tastes like. If you're dreaming of champagne and caviar, you need to know what that tastes like, don't you? Well, this book is suggesting that you go back, whether it's 5 minutes ago to your breakfast, or yesterday for your dinner, or the birth of your first child. Go back and experience it again. Why do you remember it? What gratitude played a part? I said that wrong. I read that wrong. Was gratitude a part of it? What was going on for you that allowed you to feel grateful? For the author, it is tiny kittens crawling down my back when I was about 2. I can feel the tiny claws, hear the little meows, and see the gray, wispy baby fur. It is the prickle of the tiny claws against my skin, the sensation so deliciously startling that makes me smile even now. It's the first memory I have of the wonder of being alive in a body. It was the newness of the first everness that allowed me in that moment to feel grateful for being alive, and it is why that minute of my life continues to be one of my most powerful memories. It has been a great joy for me to write this book, for its creation has been an act of gratitude in and of itself, for those who have so unselfishly taught and inspired me throughout my life, for those who shared specific ideas, stories, and practices with me, for my mind's ability to put it together, and for you, for being interested and willing to enter into the experience. That's the most wonderful thing I've discovered so far about gratitude. It makes you feel full, bursting with delight, just to remember the gifts you have received. Thus, we are doubly blessed when we receive something for the gift itself, and later, in recall, for the miracle of having been given it. Now, we're still very early in the show, not even at a half hour. This looks like Chapter 2, The Gifts of Gratitude, by Melody Beatty. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion to clarity. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. So I'm thinking that she says there's 60 chapters in here, and each one should be like a meditation. So I'm going to do a little quick check here and see what this next chapter is, how long it is, and see if I've got enough time to do it. I think I do. So let's just dig in and see what the book has to say. And I would appreciate it if anybody is listening and you like what I'm doing, let me know. Call the show when it's live again and tell me if you do or you don't like me reading from the Attitude of Gratitude book, or email me at manifestmondayshow@gmail.com. That's manifestmondayshow@gmail.com. Consciously cultivating thankfulness is a journey of the soul, one that begins when we look around us and see the positive effects that gratitude creates. We do this by noticing those around us to whom gratefulness comes easily and realize how much we enjoy being around those people. I can tell you I appreciate being around grateful people so much easier than being around victims or martyrs or negative people. We also tap into these gifts as we think about times in the past when we felt particularly grateful. Remember the peacefulness and the delight that accompanied those times? As we come to understand the gifts of gratitude, we realize that being grateful is not something remote or foreign, but part of the natural, joyful expression of our full humanness. Mother Teresa said, "Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. She gives most who gives with joy." Mother Teresa, I agree. I don't know about you, but in general, there hasn't been a lot of joy, that opening and swelling of the heart in my life. Oh, that's sad. It wasn't because of my circumstances, because they weren't particularly hard, but because of my mental training. Growing up, I learned to plan and to work hard. Well, so did I, lady, but I am joyful. Accomplishments were good because they led somewhere. I was planning to go to high school, college, a good job, a relationship, but they weren't to be relished and celebrated in and of themselves. Oh, that's so sad. Even my friend Ellen put a very sad face here. Like so many of us, I was so busy climbing the ladder of success that I took no time to enjoy the journey. I was too busy getting on to the next challenge. Now, see, I'm really busy, folks. Anybody who knows me has listened to this show, you know that I manage a charity. I'm actually, as of a couple of days ago, I am an award-winning author. My magazine for Be Unique has won an award. Our films have won numerous awards. We haven't entered the podcast into any awards yet. Maybe we should. But I'm writing, I'm helping other authors, I'm illustrating, I'm painting, I'm channeling messages from Metatron, I'm manifesting my dream life, I'm working on a book tour and an author's retreat, a day retreat type thing. So I'm busy, 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 busy. But I celebrate every accomplishment. I am not too busy getting on to the next challenge. She continues with, when I think back on particular occasions for joy in my past, graduating, valedictorian of my high school, getting married, making a bestseller list for Random Acts of Kindness, for example, I realized that as soon as I attained each goal, my eyes were immediately on the next prize. Getting to the top of my college class, having a baby, getting on the New York Times bestseller list. It was as if I was a machine, mindlessly churning out accomplishments and not stopping to relish the journey along the way. Oh, how sad, how sad, how sad. I take time. In fact, I took time off this evening. This morning, I took time to just chill out, relax, and I did a little work, and then I chilled out and relaxed some more, and then my husband and I went out for dinner, and I'm creating this podcast because tomorrow I've got other things I've got to do, but I'm just going to take time in that dentist chair and manifest a nice, happy, healthy mouth. The author says, I got sick and tired of a joyless existence, and so have thought a lot in the past few years about how to bring more joy into my life. The more I think about it, the more I believe that joy and gratitude are inseparable. Joy is defined in the dictionary as an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Now, see, we're talking about manifesting here. Gratitude is that state of being appreciative of benefits received. I say be grateful for where you are, what you have, or you won't get any more. In other words, when we are appreciative, we are filled with a sense of well-being and swept up by the feeling of joy. So I determined to stop climbing mindlessly to some undefined peak of accomplishment and focus my attention on all the wonderful things that were happening in my day-to-day existence. As I do, without even trying, joy creeps in. Sarah Van Breathnach puts it like this. Begin today. Declare out loud to the universe that you are willing to let go of struggle and eager to learn through joy. Then think of all that you have accomplished today and celebrate each feat, no matter its size. Did you wake up? Were you able to get out of bed? Could you walk by yourself, or did you need assistance? And if you needed assistance, are you grateful that assistance was there for you? Do you need help accomplishing simple everyday tasks? And do you accept the help that is offered? Joyfully, gratefully. Continuing with my reading, she has a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Gratitude makes us young. The invariable mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the common. Young children are such exuberant, joy-filled creatures, eager to embrace life in all its mystery and majesty. Everything is new and exciting. Everything, a bubble, a snowflake, a mud puddle, is a gift. But something in the process of growing up so often takes the juice out of us. We become encrusted, hard, jaded. We lose our joy, our exuberance, our passion, embrace of life. We trudge instead of skip, retreat instead of explore, too old instead of when can I be old enough? This drying up is so common that when we meet a vibrant, joy-filled older person, he or she stands out as a singular exception. And folks, let me tell you, that is what I want to be. I want to be the kind of old lady that people look at and go, I want to be like her when I grow up. We don't have to lose the happiness or juiciness of youth. All we have to do is to tap into our sense of gratitude. For when we do, we are like little children again, seeing the world for the first time. Folks, I'll tell you, it's how I look at it every single day. And if I have a moment where, oh, do I have to do this? Oh, am I supposed? Oh, don't make me go. That's when I know something's got to change, either my attitude or the situation. In Simple Pleasures of the Garden, Donna Markova shares a story about such a woman. Several years ago, I was walking in March along a gravel road that led to the ocean in Rhode Island. A very old and thin woman came hobbling down a driveway toward me. I waved and continued walking, but as I passed, she grabbed my arm, turned around, and began to pull me in the direction of her house. I instantly thought of the witch in Hansel and Gretel and tried to pull back, but that only made her clutch tighter around my wrist. Besides, she didn't cackle, so I relented. She didn't say a word. In fact, until we approached her house, a shingle-style cottage with green shutters and a front lawn erupting everywhere in purple crocus, she released me there, throwing her arms up in the air and shouting, "Look at this splendor! Isn't it a miracle?" This old woman was open to the magic and beauty of life, and her sparkling eyes and eagerness to share made her and everything around her more vibrant and alive. Oh, I need to start planting more things on my lawn. My friend Ellen wrote, "Life is a miracle, the greatest miracle. It happens in the heart." Now, we've been almost half an hour, actually a little longer than half an hour, and I think I'm going to stop at this point. These chapters don't really have a clear stop and start. They're just little stories, and I will read some more another day. I won't know for sure what I'll be reading because sometimes life gives me something to manifest about, to talk about. I am currently manifesting my book author tour and conference, mini con basically, with Be Unique Board of Directors. By the time we get around to doing this, because we're in the process of thinking about it and planning it, our fifth board member will have been a published author. So once we get all of our books out, well, not all of ours. I have way too many to get them all out at once. But we'll get our books out. By that time, I will have my fifth book out. And the other authors will keep working on what they've got. And together, we will be able to bring you an amazing event. It's going to be in person. We may do some online events, but that's something you might want to tune in to beunique.org for. Go to the website. Just type in beunique, beunique.org. And all of our events will be there. I look forward to sharing that information with you. And I look forward to speaking with you the next time I'm on Manifest Monday. Remember, be grateful for everything.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Be Unique Radio's Manifest Monday show with Mary Brotherton. Come back every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern for more guidance on creating your ideal life. If you have questions about manifesting your happiness, email manifestmondayshow@gmail.com and Mary will respond on a future episode. Remember, friends, the fastest way to manifest your dreams is to speak them into existence in positive present terms and to always remain grateful. See you next time.